Let me invite you to turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter number 3. 2 Samuel chapter number 3. If you remember last week, we saw in chapter 3 and verse number 1 that after King Saul died, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, civil war in Israel. Thus far, we've seen how that after the death of Saul, the people of Judah had made David king in Hebron. However, Abner, one of Saul's generals, appointed one of Saul's young sons, Ishbosheth, as king in Gibeon over Israel. Now, we've seen also that Ishbosheth, it's so tough for me to say that name, was really no more than just a puppet king. He wasn't the one ruling. Abner was the one that was ruling. Abner was calling the shots. Abner was pulling the strings, and he was really the one who was in control of things. Now, we've seen that David wasn't perfect. As we looked in chapter 3 there in verses 2 through 5, we see how David made some bad choices in his life. That actually caused him to sin. We all make some bad choices at one time or another that causes us to sin. Yeah? And one of these bad choices that brought sin to David was that he had too many wives. We saw where there's six mentioned in verses 2 through 5, and there's at least two more than these that come and mentioned in other places. Understand that God's plan for marriage was established in the Garden of Eden. One man for one woman. That's God's way. Also understand that Moses warned the children of Israel about the conduct of their kings. God knew that the time was going to come when they were going to ask for a king. Imagine that. God knows, doesn't he? He knows your tomorrows too. Well, God knew this time was going to come. And he had already recorded in Deuteronomy 17, verses 15 through 17. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to note it. Deuteronomy 17, verses 15 through 17. Kings were not to multiply horses to themselves. And it says there, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that they should multiply horses. Kings were not to multiply wives to themselves. And kings weren't to greatly multiply to themselves silver and gold. Now, David may not have multiplied horses or silver and gold, but he did multiply wives. And that was not wise on his part. And, anytime you do something contrary to the Word of God, it's going to cost you. And I believe it cost David in his life. Later, David's son, Solomon, went against all three things that God said Israel's king should not do. Think about it. David went against one, but his son went to excess. Did them all to excess. And we know that Solomon's heart was not perfect toward the Lord, but was turned away from him by his wives. And there's a lesson for us and all of that. We need to watch what choices we make, and that what we allow into our lives for. If we sow sin, well, what we sow in a small way in our own lives, we may reap in excess in our children's lives. Now, let's review what happened here with Abner. If you remember, we left off in verse number 33. In fact, what I want to do is I want to read from verse 33. We know Abner's been killed. He was killed by Joab. David made Joab lead the funeral procession. That had to really eat on Joab. And, of course, David followed the casket there, the bier. They buried Abner in Hebron. We see in verse 33, it says, "And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth?" And that's our text verse tonight. I want to talk about Abner dying as a fool. He said there, look at verse 34, "Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. When all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swears, saying, So do God to me, and more also if I taste bread, or else aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it. and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. And we'll talk about why that's important here in just a minute. But keep that verse in mind. This could have really caused this unification split back apart. Okay? Abner was the one who was trying to help David, help the people of Israel, all except Judah. Judah's all David had, and he was trying to get all the rest of the people to accept David. Now Abner's dead. And so they're looking at David's reaction to this. And look at verse 37 again. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Now, let's review what happened to Abner and talk about it just a little bit here as we look at this. We remember the complaint of Ishbosheth back in verse 7 through 11. Remember how that Ishbosheth accused Abner, whether it was rightly or wrongly, we don't know, but he accused Abner of improper relations with one of his father Saul's concubines. He said, "Man, you've been going into my father's concubine." He accused him, but we don't know whether that's true or not. Whether it was true or not, we see that Abner responded wrongly. He let wrath get a foothold in his life. There's a lesson for us there too. Amen. And we're told in the New Testament not to let wrath get a hold in our lives. We know in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 26 says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." And it also talks about how we're to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from us with all that malice that we have, and we're rather to be kind. But we see here Abner, he responded wrongly. He let wrath get a foothold. And we need to watch how we handle rebukes. You know, sometimes rebuke is justified. You ever been rebuked by somebody and you said, "Boy, I needed that"? You ever been rebuked by a lost person? You know, that's very humbling. When you didn't catch how you should have been, but they caught that you claimed to be a Christian and you didn't live up to your name of being a Christian. Yeah. But you know, we can't control someone bringing a rebuke against us, but we can control our response to that rebuke. And sometimes rebuke comes our way and it's justified. Sometimes it's not justified. But what are you going to do with it? We can let something like that make us bitter, or we can use it to make us better. It's our choice. And I want you to remember this. Our response is always a choice that we make. And how you respond to whatever comes your way, that's a choice that you make. So we see that Abner was offended, and he turned away from Ishbosheth. And we know that Proverbs says in Proverbs 18:19, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." And so we see the complaint of Ishbosheth, and then we see the contract that Abner had with David there in verses 12 through 16. I'm not going to read those verses because we read them last week. I'm just reminding you of what we've seen thus far. We saw how that Abner was a bit of an opportunist. He realized it was only a matter of time before David was going to be king over all Israel. And he knows that David is getting stronger. And it's, the scripture tells us that David was getting stronger and the house of Saul was getting weaker. And so he could see this happening and say, you know, he picked the proper time, the right time to respond wrongly and to jump over to David's side. He knew that David was getting stronger. He knew the prophecy of the Lord. I don't know why he was trying to go against David when he knew the prophecy of the Lord. There's a lot of people who are that way. They know what the Word of God says, but they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. the wrong way to be, isn't it? So here we see that Abner struck a deal with David to convince Israel to accept him as their king. And the only way that David would make a covenant with Abner, we saw, was if he delivered Michal, his Saul's daughter, who was David's wife, another of David's wives, who had been given to another man. And so we saw the communication of Abner there in verses 17 through 21. This is the first mention of the word communication in the Bible. Here we see that Abner persuaded the people of Israel to accept David as king. And we need to have the same kind of zeal that Abner had when we communicate the gospel. You know, people need to receive Jesus as king, don't they? You know, Abner went out and he made a strong case for David. And we need to be fervent about getting people to accept Christ as king. But then we saw the cunning of Joab. And how that in verses 22 through 30, Abner had previously made the mistake of killing Joab's brother, Asahel. Remember, we saw that two lessons ago. It was the last lesson. I guess we saw it there. He made the mistake of killing Joab's brother in 2 Samuel 2, verses 18 through 24. Asahel, remember, Asahel was in hot pursuit of Abner. Abner warned Asahel, he would turn aside. In fact, he warned him twice. And so Asahel refused to turn, so Abner wound up killing Asahel, and he could be called self-defense or justifiable homicide. And so we see that caused a rift between Abner and Joab and his brothers. However, it was Jewish custom for the next of kin, and this is where we get into verse 33, where he talks about died Abner as a fool died. Jewish custom was for the next of kin to avenge the death of a family member. Okay? Somebody killed your kin, you could go after them. Unless they went to a city of refuge. Okay? After Abner killed Asahel, and Asahel's brothers, Joab, who was David's general, and Abishai, who they were out for revenge for their brother's death. You ever played the board game, The Game of Life? Okay. On the board game, there's spaces labeled revenge on there. And these are some of the most popular squares to land on because the player can get back at other players who have penalized them. That's generally true in the real game of life, too, isn't it? There are many folks who have been wronged, look to get what they call sweet revenge. But listen, revenge goes in circles. You know, and it don't stop. It never really ends until somebody decides not to get revenge. Remember the old story of the Hatfields and McCoys? I mean, years later, they couldn't even remember what the feud was about. It was, you know, Hatfields are against McCoys, and McCoys are against Hatfields. Well, why? Because they're a Hatfield. Or because they're a McCoy. People forget. And it never ends. What does the Bible say about the matter of vengeance and revenge? Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now we see that Abner had returned to Hebron, which was one of the six cities of refuge. The cities of refuge are talked about in Numbers chapter 35, verse 11 and 12. But I want you to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 20. Book of Joshua, chapter 20. Numbers 35, they were given instructions to set them up when they got into the land. They was put three on one side of Jordan, three on the other side of Jordan. And so we see in Joshua chapter 20, Joshua chapter 20, verse number 1. Joshua 20, verse number 1. Says, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. And he's referring back to Numbers, okay, the book of Numbers, chapter 35, verse 11 and 12, and there's some other verses there too. But he says in verse 3, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee into one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then shall they shall not deliver up the slayer up unto his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. In other words, it wasn't premeditated. Okay? Verse 6, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, okay, and stand trial, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed, and he gives here, they appointed Kadesh and Galilee and Mount Naphtali and Shechem and Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arjaba, which is Hebron. There it is, Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. There was the three on that side, and you got three on the other side that it mentions there in the rest of the chapter. But we see Hebron mentioned there. And that's where Abner fled, went to after he killed Asahel. Now, according to the Old Testament law, he could not be harmed by an avenger of blood as long as he remained inside the gates of the city. But we see that Joab went to Hebron to speak with Abner. And Joab was a subtle man. Look back at chapter 3 there in verse 27. It says, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Okay, now see Abner coming out to the gate. Joab said, hey, come here, I need to talk to you privately. I need to talk to you out here. And he smote him there under the fifth rib, and he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. It's a revenge killing. He avenged his family member. So Joab went to speak with him, but fooled him into getting him outside the gate. It appears that Joab got Abner to come just outside the gate. When Abner was just a few feet outside the gate, Joab stabbed him and got his revenge. Joab's a good picture of temptation and the devil who seeks to lure a child of God outside the place of refuge. You know, God has some places of refuge for His children. He does. Once outside the place of refuge, you become fair game for the avenger. And we see the crying of David here. And remember, in verse number 31, where we left off last week, David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And he said in verse 33 there, David is lamenting the death of Abner and says, died Abner as a fool dieth? Why did he say that? I believe he said that because Abner's death was an unnecessary death. Abner didn't have to die. Okay? Abner lived under a sentence of death. When he killed Asahel, the avenger could come after him. He knew that he was being pursued for his life. Did you know that we all live under a sentence of death? We're all going to die physically one day. It's appointed unto men once to die after this judgment, Hebrews 9:27 says. And of course, that we hope to go up in the rapture, don't we? But even rapture is a separation from this world. It's a form of death, actually. Separation. We're going to be separated from the things that we know. Those who don't know Christ will die the second death, spoken of in Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15. And we know that those that do not believe the Lord, the Bible says, are condemned already. John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already. So death is coming. It's pursuing, folks. The question is, are you ready? We see that not only did Abner live under a sentence of death, but Abner neglected a divinely ordered refuge. God gave the six cities of refuge for folks just like Abner. If he would have just stayed inside the gate, he couldn't have been killed. Inside the city of refuge, he would have been safe from the avenger. Did you know that God has given us some divinely ordered places of refuge? You know, Christ is the only refuge for our soul. Amen. He's the only refuge for our soul. He alone. Those who are lost need to flee to Jesus Christ. Psalm 9:9 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 62:7, "God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." And Proverbs 14:26, "And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children have a place of refuge." Aren't you glad you got a place of refuge tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now see, we know that some will never get saved in spite of the grace and love of Almighty God. And there's a place of refuge they could run. The devil wants to see them die in their sin and go to hell. But there's so many that won't go to the place of refuge. They won't go to Christ. The Bible proves God's love for man. Jesus Christ proves God's love for man. The Holy Spirit proves God's love for man. I mean, God's done His part. He's made that refuge. Abner died as a fool because he failed to appropriate what God had provided. God provided those six places of refuge. And sadly, many will die like a fool doing the same thing in their lifetime here. Remember how God provided the Passover lamb for Israel to escape death. Remember, the firstborn was going to die. They said, but hey, the death angel is going to come and the firstborn's going to die, but if you'll take the Passover lamb, they had to kill the Passover lamb, apply the blood, they could be exempted from that. And that was the refuge. We know that some will never get saved in spite of the preaching of the gospel. But to some, the gospel is foolishness. To some, the gospel is a stumbling block. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. Abner died as a fool because he neglected the word of the Lord. See, it was the word of the Lord that talked about these six cities of refuge and what he needed to do. Preaching he heard regarding the cities of refuge went in one ear and out the other. And many think in their hearts, well, somebody else may need that preacher, but not me. Listen, some will never get saved in spite of the simplicity of the gospel. It's not a complicated thing. It wasn't a complicated thing for Abner. All Abner had to do is get inside the city and stay there. Is that simple? That's simple, isn't it? Is trusting Christ simple? It most certainly is. Some will never get saved in spite of the opportunities available to them. Every time the Holy Spirit tugs at a person's heart, there's a new opportunity. Think of how many opportunities to get saved are wasted. The question every soul needs to ponder is this: am I ready to die in my present condition? Do I really have peace in my heart and life about dying? Christ is the only refuge for the soul. Another thing is that the church is the only refuge for those who are saved. If you're saved, you need to stick with the church. Amen. Don't leave the church. Don't abandon the church. It is divinely ordered refuge for the Christian life. When we were up in Indiana and I was pastoring up there, we had the opportunity to run in some folks that they had left church. They didn't agree with the organized church. They had just left it. And they were just plain wrong. The church is God's divinely ordered refuge. Some have left the church and they wreaked havoc in their lives and the lives of their family members. Listen, don't do yourself in by leaving the church. The Bible is a refuge for those who are saved. The Word of God provides refuge from the attacks of the enemy. Stay with the book. Love the book. Order your life by the book. So we got Christ, we got the church, and we got the Bible. Amen. Those are three divinely ordered refuges that we have. So Abner lived under a sentence of death. Abner neglected the divinely ordered refuge. And then last of all, Abner was a victim of cunning deception. Nobody dragged Abner outside the city gates. He went outside the city on his own. He just walked out there. He was a fool to listen to Joab's proposals and be drawn aside from the gate of the city of refuge. You know, Satan approaches the Christian from outside the gate, speaks quietly, and says, "Hey, why don't you come over here for a minute? Let's talk." Yeah. He'll say, "It's not really like you heard them say it was down at that church. The world ain't all that bad. After all, you got plenty of time. You know, there's plenty of time for all that religious stuff. Just come on out here and let's have a good old time while we're young." Satan tries to talk to us who are saved into getting close enough to the gate where he can put his arm around our shoulder, lead us just outside the gate, and ruin our lives. Don't be found flirting with Satan near the gate. Where should Abner have been? Where was the safest place in the city of refuge? It wasn't at the gate. It was in the middle of the city, amen. You need to get in the middle of things that God has for you and stay there. You need to be the farthest point from the entrance. Abner died as a fool. Don't die like Abner. Amen. All right. We'll cut off there and we'll come back and pick up in chapter number 4 next time, Lord willing. Let's pull back out our prayer list and we'll pray for the needs that are there and we'll be dismissed.